This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Where does Jamie Yuccas stand on practical jokes?
Oh, I love practical jokes.
I do too. And Susie just played one on me, which I thought was going on, but I thought it was Harrigan. And it turned out...
How dare you?
I didn't mean that in a mean way. I meant that in a complimentary way. So, we finish up at about 1:58.
Sure.
And I have some chili. Actually, Kathleen, who you met, we were talking on the phone today about a couple things, and I love her chili. She goes, I made chili. I go, really? I go, I'm like 5 minutes away. She goes, grab some chili. So I grab the chili, and we're doing the show, and I think, hey, top of the hour, I got time to warm up the chili. It's just great. It's just great. By the way, I contend that peak chili is better than any peak soup. Are you with me?
Yeah, except I do appreciate as well a stew that's had like a couple days.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's a good separate category that we have not considered. So I'm warming up the chili, and I'm ready to come in for listen to, you know, I've heard CBS a couple times. I want to hear Susie in the local news, and I'm like, okay, where's my phone? And I'm fully capable of playing practical jokes on people, so I'm just assuming it's this guy. The guy right in front of me, Dave Harrigan, has hid my phone. And I'm like, okay, you got me. I was scared. Dave,
Right. Where's
my phone? And he calls and I go, I got it. You're playing a practical joke on me. I give. You win. You beat me. No, was not me. I go back. I go in. Our kitchen area. How would you describe, Dave Harrigan, the kitchen area here at CCO?
Small and unimpressive?
Yeah.
I was going to say the lap of luxury.
No. Cambria's down below. That'd be great if they would just let us go down there and use one of their kitchens. They're better.
Isn't it funny? It's always funny to me that is down there, and then you do have the kitchen. You do have to, like, couldn't they come redo your kitchen?
Yeah. Marty Davis, closed circuit Marty Davis. I know you listen occasionally. Please come over here and redo the kitchen. Actually, when we get out of here, because I want us to get out of this building so bad. I want to stay downtown, but I want us out of this building. Then, Marty, redo it. So I go back. I even look in the microwave thinking, am I this big of a dope? Am I such a dope that I grab the chili and I just, it's not thinking at all, because we've all done it, right? You know, nope, not in there. I look in the fridge, and I'm like, okay. Then I come back here, and it's kind of tucked behind my chair. And I'm like, okay. And then Susie admits she had it the whole time.
I love
put
Susie.
It back. And I think
Susie's
I think that's tremendous. Now,
Bravo.
Now, she's never going to be heard on the station again because I'm going to have her fired. So it's I mean, it's been a good run, Dave. I mean, a good way to go out, don't you think? No. I love practical jokes. I think if people don't like practical jokes, you got to lighten up, right?
And well, people take themselves too seriously.
Yes. And the practical jokes cannot just be when you play them and they're great, but if they're played on you, oh, that was uncalled for. That was too far. No.
Well, that's like everything in life, isn't it? It's like I hate the people who are like super sarcastic. And then you like go to rhythm back. You're like, oh yeah, like when you do blah blah blah. And
right.
Then they're like, why would you say that? Why would you do that? And you're like, wait, I thought this was like what we were doing.
That would be like if I would get mad about sarcasm. I mean, seriously.
Yes.
Get
yes.
out of here. Now, it can be misinterpreted. In fact, I want to lead into a texting topic with this. Sometimes, including here. Where people can text at 651-461-9226, especially if you don't know somebody, and I appreciate everybody's listening. And some of these texts come in so often, I feel like there's some familiarity. But some will send just something, and there's no little smiley part of it, or there's no dot, dot, dot. And then I react, and somebody say, well, I was being sarcastic. Well,
right.
You know, if you don't know that, if you're not hearing the person, then that can be lost a little bit, right?
Correct. Well, I think lots of stuff. Look, you're not supposed to have, like, emails and texts don't have a tone, right? But
no.
How often do people, like, I even sometimes, like, I have this one person at work that I'll send things too, you know, like, hey, did you guys see this story? Or, like, well, let's check this out. Or, oh my gosh, this video is amazing. And he always just responds, yep, yep. And I'm like, okay, like, I know that it doesn't have a tone, but, like, that's all I'm getting is yep.
Yeah.
Or, like, when you get a like, K.
Yeah.
Just the letter K.
Well.
Okay.
Well, I know, like, that from you at times, too, because there are times I'm, like, maybe I'm doing stuff there, or maybe I'm just trying to get the reaction out of you, too, where I'll say, got it, thanks, thumbs up, and you have multiple times sent me the reaction, lengthy response, you know.
sounds good, Chad.
Yeah,
can't
yeah.
wait.
Wow.
Can't wait to see you.
Really busy. Yeah. Okay, so there.
I also do say, I just want to bring up, because being a native Minnesotan,
yeah,
I have trouble out here in Los Angeles sometimes where people don't understand my sense of humor.
Oh.
Like they... So it's like I always have to be like, I'm joking. Like I have to, like, guys, that was a joke. And people, and they're like, well, what was the joke? Or like, why was that funny?
Yeah. Well, you're never in a good spot then if you have to repeat something.
Correct.
Unless it's like just an automatic great line or joke. If you're repeating something that's just a throwaway and just as funny at the moment and you have to repeat it again. Get out. I've had two or three friends of mine in my life who just drive me nuts because they're so dry. They're like, what does that mean? And you're like, what is that? And I'm like, you know, for a while in the friendship, this goes back to a college friend of mine, I would explain it. And at some point in the friendship, I went, nope.
Well,
not going there. Not going there.
I do also believe that working in our business and news, I think, like, we call it news humor because, like, sometimes it's kind of dark and twisted, but, like, also funny. It's almost like The Onion, when you go to read The Onion. It's like, ha ha! Like, I find it hilarious, but I'll send it to, like, friends who don't work in news, and they're like...
There's probably truth to that. Okay, so let's pause on this, because I want to... It's perfect that we're talking about this, because there was a story the other day about you should think twice before using shorthand on your text, like thanks and K in your text.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here. That's my feeling on that. So put Jamie on hold. When you are texting with someone, do you feel like you have to write this as if it's a cover letter for a job that you desperately want? Or this is the emotional letter that you're writing your daughter when she's graduating from high school? Because grammar matters, punctuation matters. But to me, Dave, there's a place for it. And texting, especially with someone you know, come on. Now, if you're trying to set up a job or you're just meeting someone, I get it a little bit. But you're texting. To quote a great philosopher, lighten up, Francis. Okay, maybe you see it differently. Maybe you agree. Let us know. Jamie's going to stick around for one more segment. Former Governor Tim Pawlenty at the top of the hour. But let me know through a text, 651-461-9226. Jamie, she's a yoga person. She knows how essential it is to have flexibility, whether it's she's getting up at 4 in the morning for her jobs or her and Doug are going somewhere. Stretch Lab has not moved out to California yet. Maybe that's their next state to go. StretchLab.com. Here in the metro area, we have 11 locations. What happens when you go to Stretch Lab? You're going to meet a trained therapist who has background in this area and has had weeks and weeks and weeks of training with their core principles, but then will work with your body. What might work with me in my late 50s might not work with you if you're in your 80s or you're a teenager. By the way, you might be looking like I am to hit that driver a little bit further. You might be looking when you go for a bike ride where, you know, your calves aren't as tight. You might be just looking how to get out of bed and feel better. Flexibility is one of the keys to enjoying life, and that's what happens with StretchLab.com. And remember, half off your first visit. During this break, before we come back with Jamie, go to StretchLab.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're talking about shortening up words in text since we have – it worked out well because Susie played a practical joke on me and hid my phone. It was great. I fell for it. And then we started talking about texting, and I'm just trying to say, Jamie, there are times in a text when you're introduced to somebody and it's an important part of your job, or there's some important part of your personal life, and this is someone you don't know, where, yes – it's not K, thanks, shorten up. But if it's me and you talking, two people have known each other for, what, 15 years and are good friends? Come on. We don't need to have Shakespeare taking place.
We talked about this on our show, actually, today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, perfect.
And I said, my co-anchor and I both agreed that it's all about the nature of the relationship, right? Like, if my mom texts me, hey, I'm not going to be like, oh, my gosh, Mom. Like,
right.
It's like, okay, she's busy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and, like, you have done that to me.
Yes.
I like to tease you about it, but, you know, different relationship than my mom.
That's it. Among the texts, use proper grammar in every situation. I see it used on Facebook and call people that spell like illiterate fools to prove their point. If you can spell in a text, it will bleed into your everyday life. I couldn't disagree more. Now, I'm not asking you to mangle English language.
I don't want that person in my life.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to give people grace in a text message or on social media, like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I disagree with this text 1,000%. Again, I'm not asking you to send me text, and the grammar is so extraordinarily awful. But if you're just shortening up in a text, like, if you and Doug, okay, this person, I don't know if you're married or not, in a relationship or not, or kids, if you can't just send a text, hey, UK, or something like that, or whatever it might be, and you think that's going to start affecting you in the rest of your life, but not me for 1 second.
Look, my husband's Australian, so, like, instead of mom, he writes out mum, right? Like,
yeah.
There's certain colors he spells it. There's certain things he spells differently that I will say he's had people in his life be like, that's not how we say it here in America. And he's like, okay, well, I grew up in Australia. Like, my bad. Like, sorry. But really?
Yeah. Well, there's others. More text. I rarely use abbreviations in the text. I think of it as being lazy or not very classy.
Oh, wow. These people must have so much. They just have a lot of time.
I don't. Dave, do you want to chime in? Do you want to take the side of these folks who think it has to be flawless, perfect grammar in a text, or else it's going to be viewed as not classy, lazy, or it's going to trickle down to the rest of your life?
Because that's right.
I don't agree for 1 second.
It's a slippery slope, Chan. It's a slippery slope. You know me in texting. I always use the King's English.
Exactly. I mean, this is the Curb Your Enthusiasm, where there's somebody in the Curb who, instead of laughing out loud, would say, LOL.
LOL, Larry.
LOL, Larry. And
okay.
Finally, somebody had to say, Larry, please tell her That's not funny. There's no one outside of a Great Curb episode who's now going to start talking in real life K-L-O-L, smiley face. That just doesn't happen. Come on.
What about voice memos? I've become a huge fan of the voice memo.
No.
So that we can just skip this stuff.
No. No. Kathleen does this all the time. And when we live together, it'll be like, Hunter, hi, comma, it's mom. Call me, period, smiley face. I'm like, just type that. And then also, if you're in a
The voice memo where it's like you're basically like leaving a voicemail, but it's a text message.
Oh.
It's your voice.
Yeah. Okay, what do you think of that, Dave?
I'm on board with that.
Yeah,
I don't do it. I should do it more because, yes, you're right. It is easy, and especially if you have what drives me nuts is a text conversation, something that's going to take a couple minutes and you have to go back and forth. Hate it. Absolutely hate it. Just call me. Just call me. We'll fix this in 30 seconds because you can't do it as quickly in text. Right. So, yes, if you can do the voice message,
easier.
People
don't like calls anymore either.
No.
Well, so I think it's like you cut through both.
Carter's one of them. The two of us needle each other pretty much every day or send things back.
Can we call him right now? Let's call him right now.
Let's see. Call him right now. Call him right now. Because there have been so many times, you got to look up his number.
Yeah, got to find his
number. There have been so many times where we're texting, okay? And then I'll just call him and I'll say, hey, I just called you. Are you doing something? Nah, I just want to text. I'm like, okay, let's just
keep,
again, it's hard to be perfect like we are.
Well, I'm definitely not perfect, but I think that's my point is these people who want everything to be perfect, it's just like not life, you know?
Texter, ask your high school English teacher, mine would slap you. No, mine would not. What? And say if you're turning a paper in, they'd slap you, but not. Hey, swing it by, okay? You know, here's Adam. We're calling Adam right now.
I bet he won't answer. Should we leave him a voicemail?
Yeah, why don't you leave him a voicemail? Like you're
okay.
Why don't you call anymore, Carter? I thought you were better than
okay.
that. Hi, this is Adam Carter.
Right.
I'm sorry I couldn't take your call.
See?
Leave a message after the beep.
Yep.
I'll get in touch with you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Not really.
It's very professional.
Yeah. Hi, Carter. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. I'd love a phone call soon. It's Jamie Yukas calling from the show.
Yeah.
You might remember me. You can voice memo me back if you'd like.
Why don't you ever answer your phone, Carter? What are you doing right now? I mean, you'll text me back, LOL, Larry. Come on, answer the phone. Hang up on him now. Here's a text who gets it. How the letters are you, Chad? Great GRH show. I always LOL when Jamie's on. The letters see you later. That's it. Thank you. You can have fun with it. Now, if that's how you send a letter when you're trying to get a promotion with your boss, not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Correct.
We can adapt to situations. Excellent. Loved it as always. Say hi to Doug, and we'll talk next week.
Let me know if you hear from Carter. I don't think he has my number.
Yeah. Hey, he's done with you.
Bye.
He's moved on. Tim Pawlenty next on CCO. All right, 37 past 2, frequent guest and great political insight for this man, the former governor of the state, Tim Pawlenty, like all of our guests, like Jamie and everybody else that joins us. He is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. Cell phone went dead. Landline still working for Tim Pawlenty. Dave Harrigan, if I would have asked you before, yes or no, does Tim Pawlenty have a landline? Dave Harrigan's answer would have been?
Yes.
I would have said no. How often are you calling on your landline?
Never, Chad. In fact, I'm not home. I'm at another place down one block away from you in downtown Minneapolis calling in on a line that your producer correctly has indicated is a little scratchy. So I apologize for that. And my cell phone has got 8% power, so I could have called you on that. But I bet I would have died halfway through the interview.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, you could have walked over the extra block.
I thought of it, but I was on a Zoom call, and I thought, well, you know, you guys have such high security there. By the time I tried to get through the front locked front door and up to the studio, it would have been late for the interview.
Fair. You realize there's a moat here. There's seven or eight security people here, so an excellent decision. All right,
You use the Signal app for most of your phone calls.
We do.
So I hope, I know you do.
I was brought in with the Pete Hegseth conversation yesterday. It was fantastic. All right, we're approaching 100 days of number two, the second administration for Donald Trump. I don't think it's the last one myself. That's me. What do you like most about the administration so far? And what do you like least about what has happened so far?
Well, as we try to give a report card for this first 100 days, I think it's important to go back and look at what did he primarily run on. And he ran primarily on cracking down on illegal immigration, taming inflation, reducing crime, and ending, or at least reducing, so-called wokeness run amok. And I think if you go down each of those, I'd say you'd have to give them, in terms of the public's perception, high grades for illegal immigration enforcement. I mean, he's had some hiccups, obviously. He's really cracked down on so-called wokeness run amok. Inflation has statistically reduced substantially, although there's a danger of it reigniting with these tariffs, but you have to give him pretty good grades on that part of it so far. And then on crime, crime is down, although that's a complicated issue involving more than just the federal government. So on those primary four campaign themes, you'd have to say so far he's done reasonably well.
So on the Southwest border apprehensions, I saw this data today. In March of 24, so last year with Joe Biden, in March, 137,473 apprehensions. With Donald Trump, 7,181. That is a stunning reversal. And he absolutely deserves credit for that. But where do you stand and what is going on with the Maryland man and the administration admitting an administrative error that questions on why they're convinced he's MS-13 because he hasn't broken any laws here? The Supreme Court saying the administration should, and here's a key word, facilitate, so it's kind of a gray area, the return. And the president and the El Salvador dictator stretching credulity, saying, "I can't do anything to get him back." What is your feeling about that? And that sort of overreach that a lot of people see, and others say, "Hey, it's time to act tough," and I like what he's doing.
Well, first of all, I want to just acknowledge your use of the word credulity. I mean, that is impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. And that's next level. So, congrats to you for
Arizona State. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, there's been some reporting in this. We don't have all the facts. So one version of the facts is this guy was here a long time. He was an immigration judge allowed him to stay here and not be deported because of fear of retaliation by a gang in El Salvador.
Where he's been sent.
And the Trump administration has admitted that it was an administrative error that he went to El Salvador in the first place. So that's version one. And on those facts, you'd say, well, bring him back. Then there's another version, which is there's reporting, at least commentators saying, that the Trump administration believes he has had affiliations with the MS-13 gang, the very gang that he supposedly was in fear of. There was and is an outstanding deportation order that's in conflict with the immigration judge saying he could stay. And that gang in El Salvador that he was afraid of, by the way, I'm talking about in the prison, you know, there's has been diminished greatly since he first came to the United States. So the question is, which version of events do you believe in? And then the icing on the cake is, I think this is the Trump administration testing the court on how far can they go in influencing a foreign policy relationship and foreign policy dynamics. And so I think all three of those things are in play, and it depends on which version of the events you believe in or are true.
Let's go to woke. Because part of the reason why the Democrats lost the presidential race and lost other races across this country is independents, of course Republicans, but independents felt like they were emphasizing certain ideas too much. And individuals who had voted for Democrats went, "You're just losing me." So that clearly has been a push, including the decision in the last 24 hours to deny Harvard over $2 billion and then lay out an agenda, what they need to do in great detail with a lot of oversight by the Trump administration. Now, I'm not going to deny in any way that many universities are left-leaning. There is no doubt about it. But isn't this perilous when any administration is going to start telling universities, by the way, one with an extraordinarily large endowment, let's acknowledge that, but it's going to start telling universities, this is what you have to do. And by the way, the list is about 175 items long.
Well, keep in mind, Chad, on that list of the top 20 or less universities to be investigated for these issues is our own flagship land-grant university, the University of Minnesota.
Correct.
So that's coming up, preview of future attractions, and that's coming. But let's look at what these campuses have done. And by the way, Harvard is a private university and can do whatever it wants. But once it takes federal money, and a lot of it, then they are subject to federal anti-discrimination laws, federal hate crime laws. And as one example, when you've had on Harvard and at Columbia certain students saying Jewish students can't go across the campus without being obstructed, threatened, harassed, buildings occupied, access to facilities denied. You know, if that was happening to black students or to gay students, the universities would have been all over it. But in course, the universities, not of course, but sadly, the universities tolerated way too much anti-Semitic behavior, including at Harvard's campus. And so I think this is the Trump administration saying, knock it off. And if we're going to be fair to everybody, we're going to be fair to everybody, and that includes the Jewish students. And you don't get to harass, harangue, you know, occupy property. And frankly, some of that went on at the University of Minnesota as well.
This is Tim Pawlenty. If you're wondering, he is on the first line that Alexander Graham Bell ever used, Dave Harrigan. I mean, it's a great experiment. Is he at the Bell Museum? Is that, I mean, honestly.
When you actually call him, you just have to push number one.
I'm at a room at the Minneapolis Club, and I'm looking at this connection.
Honestly.
The wire, and I kid you not, if I had my phone had juice in it, it is duct tape. The connection to the phone thing is duct tape into the connector point, and it looks to be from the 1960s.
Oh, my God. The most hoity-toity place in Minnesota. And they've got a phone connection from the year my father was born.
I should have just walked over.
Oh, you should have.
Walked over to
I like it. It's adding to the conversation. Okay.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So the tariffs, to me, this is kind of a link to both of these stories, where if the Trump administration shows me that they're surgical, that they're consistent, and that they're showing some precision in what they're offering up, and there's a plan that maybe I don't agree with all of it, but I get the rhyme and reason. We're talking a 246. You know this well. By the time we're done, we might have a new policy on tariffs and isolating China and treating our allies better and then trying to put China in the worst position. Let's all of us sign up for that. But where is the rhyme and reason with this idea? Because we're teetering towards a recession, and nobody went. Part of the reason why he won, he said, I'm going to lower prices day one. He never said, I'm going to take us through this remarkable transition, and we might have 6 months, a year, 18 months of tough times, but in the long run, we're going to be better. That would have been a losing message. So just react to that part of the administration.
Yeah, I think the polling shows the one area that the public has turned mildly negative and concerned on him are the tariffs. And obviously, the United States has been in a disadvantaged or unfair situation relative to how certain countries have treated us in terms of their tariffs and their other tariff-related policies, China being the leading example. But, you know, the way that he has implemented these, they're on, they're off, they're delayed, they're back on, they're paused, certain things are exempted, we're going to go big, then we're not going to go so big, has rattled the markets. And so that is beyond just concerned citizens. It's affected their 401ks, their retirement accounts, and the like. And he can get away with this for a little while, but if these tariffs reignite inflation, that's going to be a major, major problem for him and the administration and for Republicans. And if the markets continue to get roiled, that's going to be a problem as well. So he's going to have to move fairly quickly, and I would suggest to you over the next 3 to 4 months maximum to show major progress on getting these resolved.
I don't think he's going to change, though, right? He's believed in these since the 60s and 70s. And sure, I would love if 5, 6, 7, 8 million of manufacturing jobs would come back. But this is what you do with the Tom Friedman book. The earth is flat. So, yes, go after China. But if we're working more with Brussels and London and Paris and Ottawa and Mexico City, that should be great. I mean, I thought that's a Republican principle of free trade.
Yeah, it should be fair trade and free trade. And, you know, the deal was after World War II, we were going to give the redeveloping countries and poor countries a break, so we weren't going to go too hard on them on tariffs, to give them a chance to develop and get back on their feet. And many of them did. And so Germany, as a primary example, if we send a car into Germany, they tariff at 10%. If they send one here, a completed car, we tariff at 2%. That's not fair. So no. That's a perfect example of trying to get reciprocity in tariffs. But as you do that, when you look at Canada, for example, our friendly, good neighbors, before you know, beat the crap out of them and then exempt 3/4 of their imports, you might want to have studied that a little bit ahead of time.
Yes.
So we've got big tariffs on Canada, but exempted oil, exempted gas, exempted lumber, exempted timber, and hydropower and a bunch of other stuff, which is over 2/3 of what's coming in. And by the way, the agreement between us, Canada, and Mexico was negotiated, called the best agreement ever at the time, negotiated by guess who?
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the current agreement, by the
way. Yes. And by the way, he received a lot of praise from Democrats for that agreement. You know?
Yeah. And are there abuses primarily in China and some other places? Yes. I think he would have been better served to take the top 5 offenders, made an example out of them,
and then
kind of implicitly threaten the rest of the world if they don't toe the line, rather than take on the whole world all at once.
Dave, after this phone line conversation, I see Tim getting on his horse and his cowboy hat and heading home. I mean, with this phone line, I mean, there's no way it's a car, right? I mean,
I apologize.
I mean,
no, he's in some sort of covered wagon being pulled.
Yes.
He's not doing his own,
that's horse riding.
Come on.
That's true. Oh, next time, just a smidge better connection, but it added to the conversation. Thank you, sir.
Anything would have been better than this. I apologize to you, to your listeners.
You're sanctioned.
I'm sanctioned. Yes, I'm on the list.
Exactly. You're on the list. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Tim Pawlenty, right here on CCO.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think with the tax music bumper theme, I think what I've determined is there hasn't been a tax song since 1973. I think that was the last tax song.
That's not true.
Although, yeah, I guess we had the one that I liked that was popular
just a couple of years ago. We had one from Tower of Power that was like mid-90s. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You get your taxes done?
An extension.
Mm. Is that like routine for you? Or is that no?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I've never done an extension. We always, we file on time.
Yeah. I cheat America out of money. That's what I'm trying to do.
It's fine. We all.
Show me in the Constitution where it says I have to pay taxes. Come on, show me.
We don't even need the Constitution anymore. Who cares?
That's
do what
optional.
You want.
Come on.
I do think cheating on your taxes is the number one, like, most acceptable form of cheating in America.
More than on your partner?
Yes. Because people will.
Which is more commonplace?
Ooh.
Cheating on your taxes.
I bet taxes. Little cheating. People do it little.
Well, maybe a little kiss.
A little smoochy smooch. Is that cheating,
though? Maybe a little text.
A little kiss.
Maybe a little lunch.
Look, if there's no tongue, it's no cheating. That's what I say.
Put that on the bio for Jason DeRussia. If there's no tongue, it's no cheating, so go for it.
Stand by it.